the Buckmaster Show for Thursday, January 27th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330, and we are always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We are live weekday mornings from 9 to 10. The program re-airs in the evening in its entirety from 7 to 8. Here on KJLL. Well, the lineup for today's show includes a newsmaker interview with University of Arizona President Dr. Robert Shelton. Also, we will check in with the director of the Smokers Helpline at the University of Arizona. We'll get an update on efforts to revive the film industry in Tucson, plus a conversation with former Raytheon executive and former head of the Tucson Unified School District Board, Alex Rodriguez. The Buckmaster Show is primarily an interview-driven talk show, but of course there is always room for listener comments and questions. You can call us on our Buckmaster Show hotline, 529-3508. Well, the way Tucson handled the shooting tragedy should make us all proud to live here in Tucson, so writes Dr. Robert Shelton, president of the University of Arizona, in an op-ed piece in last Sunday's Arizona Daily Star. And Dr. Shelton is with me live in studio. Dr. Shelton, good to see you.
Bill, good to see you. Like your new digs here.
Thank you. Nice view of the Catalina Mountains.
Absolutely. Right? It's a characteristic of Tucson.
How would you characterize the ceremony that was held at the University of Arizona?
You know, the ceremony was one small step for the entire Tucson community to begin the healing process. The families of the victims were there. We had tremendous representation from all segments of our community. And I had a chance to meet with a number of the families who were there, look into their eyes and see just how cathartic and how meaningful it was to them.
You write that what we learned from this tragedy is that Tucson is filled with courageous, compassionate people, so evident in the life-saving actions of the first responders, the quick-thinking, selfless citizens, and the healthcare professionals who tended to the wounded.
Well, that's exactly right. We've heard a lot of praise, but you can never hear enough praise for these people, some who were visible and some who worked behind the scenes quietly. I think one of the messages that the ceremony we had at McHale and, of course, out in the stadium, followed by a lot of the news reports, particularly our alumnus Savannah Guthrie, the beautiful piece she narrated, I think it demonstrated to the nation that this is not just another 1 million-plus population center, but, in fact, it's a tight-knit town where we all look out for each other.
Some across the country, Dr. Shelton, have criticized the event, saying it was too much of a pep rally atmosphere. Was the tone okay with you?
Yeah, I really thought it was just right. I, of course, received a lot of emails, a lot more complimentary than critical, but you pay attention to both. And you're right, that pep rally concern was repeated. In fact, a lot of paragraphs in the email were cut and pasted in, so they read the same. But there were some thoughtful criticisms as well. But I think if those people could have been in McHale, if they could have looked into the eyes of the families of the victims, looked into the faces of the community, into the tens of federal judges who were there, I think they would have understood why this was the right tone, why it was meaningful to everybody. It was a healing process. It wasn't a wake. It was a chance for us to come and celebrate our heroes, big and small, and to get on with the healing. And so I think if the people who were concerned about that atmosphere had been there, they would have understood better what Tucson is all about.
Boy, you talk about Dr. Ree and his team at the Trauma Center at UMC. Talk about publicity that goes all over the world on what a fabulous job these people did under the worst possible conditions, getting Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords from the shooting scene to UMC and the Trauma Center in under 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was amazing. And, of course, everybody from folks on the scene to those at the UMC and the hospital are to be commended. I was so pleased that there was a nice piece in the local paper about the nursing staff in the trauma center. Dr. Ree, you know, what can you say about him? His military training came through. He answered the questions precisely, clearly, factually, and he didn't extrapolate, didn't project. We're just very proud of them. They had, I understand, six operating rooms going at the same time, And they did what they're trained to do. And you recall a few years ago, that trauma center was in dire straits. And so
I remember the whole controversy over whether the community could even handle one trauma center after TMC basically handed off the responsibilities to the University of Arizona.
Right. So great credit to, the chair of surgery, Reiner Grusner, who was instrumental in recruiting people like Drs. Lamole and Ree. And that's it. If you all work together, you get positive results. If you hire quality people, you know, in this day and age, we're in a mode where we just think of turning out numbers is better, more. But in fact, you have to have quality to go with it. And when you get a great hospital like UMC teaming up with a great College of Medicine, they're able to attract the quality physicians.
I think all of us who've been associated with the University of Arizona can be very proud of the way the UA handled the whole situation. So congratulations, and I extend my best wishes to everyone there at the university.
Thank you, Bill. As you know, it takes a whole team, and I will relay your message and thoughts on to all those folks at the university that made this happen.
Big problems facing the university system over funding. This is something that we have talked about, since you first arrived on campus.
Yeah, it's Groundhog
this
Day.
This is like over and over. It's the same old story. And this year, it's about a 19% cut in state funding for the University of Arizona. We're talking about 18%. Translate for us and the Buckmaster Show listeners what some of these numbers mean in real terms.
Well, what they mean in real terms, of course, is people. We've sustained $100 million in cuts from the state. And I always emphasize it's not because the state's out to get us. It's just that the state has in tough times. We're in an era in Arizona and across the nation where people do not want to pay for the public good of education, the public good of infrastructure. That's just where we are. You can argue up and down whether that's wise, but that's the fact. And so we have to get on with things. We've handled that $100 million cut so far, but it's meant over 600 fewer positions on campus and larger classes. And now when we look to the $66, $67, $68 million cut that's in the governor's budget, and a lot of people would tell you that the governor has been a protector of education. So in some ways we could say we should be pleased it's not a deeper cut. But when we look at that $68 million, there are really only two big pots of money that you can deal with. One is, of course, in salaries and benefits. That means people. And the other is in the scholarship money we hand out, the financial aid. This year we've put out about $160 million in scholarship funds, and that's important because it keeps our access high. We are more accessible now than we were any time in our history. But those are the big pots of money, and something has to give, and we're trying all strategies. You saw just today we've announced a strategy to buy out tenure for certain people who are eligible, sort of buy out their property right, if you will.
This was done, I think, up at NAU and ASU. They did that last year.
NAU did it last year.
Was it successful on those campuses?
I think ASU is just coming out with their first one now. But NAU feels it was a success. You're spending one-time money to gain permanent savings. Of course, you have to bring some people back to teach classes, but you can probably do that and save money. We won't know how much we've saved until, of course, we know how many people are taking the offer.
And your counterpart up at NAU, I was reading on the Arizona Daily Star online that he was commenting on the decreasing funding from the state over the years. It continues to go down. I think up at NAU it's down to about 20% or even less than that. What is it at the University of Arizona?
Yeah, you have to be careful how you calculate these numbers. For example, we do not put clinical income into that. But if you look at the research funding, the gifts, the tuition, we're now right around 20% of our total operating budget coming from the state. And you go back a few years and it was 50%. And that I think is part and parcel of the difficult financial times we're in. But it started before this. People have been saying, we do not want to invest in education. We feel that is what the student, his or her family, should be investing more in, and that's when tuition goes up.
State Representative John Kavanaugh, Republican from Fountain Hills, calls the governor's $170 million proposed cut a reasonable reduction, especially because the university revenue from other sources, he contends, is up. And he says the universities, relative to other agencies in the state, are, quote, flush with money.
Well, I respect Representative Kavanaugh. He's been elected. He's a very important person. We just have a different view of the facts. We do have the ability, and we have, through our regents, raised tuition. And so, in a sense, we've raised taxes, if you will, where the legislature shies away from that. But I can show you numbers to demonstrate that even with that income, we are significantly below where we have been. And you can just talk to the 600 people who no longer work at the university because of the cuts that we've had to make. I'm not saying we're any better or any worse off than other agencies. I don't want to play that game of, you know, we're better off than you are, take the cut from them and not us. But the facts are, and again, I emphasize, these are the facts, and it's not because anyone's mean. It's just the facts that we have lost over $100 million in state funds so far, and we're going to lose another 65 or 68.
It's 17 minutes past the hour, and this is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster talking with UA President Dr. Robert Shelton. Dr. Shelton, the regents will meet next month to discuss the budget cuts. Then in March, the university presidents present their tuition and fee proposals. So what kind of proposal are you thinking about at this time as far as tuition?
Well, we haven't settled on a number. We continue to work with the faculty and the student leadership. You know, Bill, when I first arrived here, I instituted an all-day session every fall to talk about how the university is financed. And we bring the student leaders, the undergrads, the grads in. We bring the faculty leaders in, and we talk about what role tuition does play. And I think that shared information is very important. We may disagree on how to go about it, but at least we're operating from the same facts. But we need to, we know we cannot raise tuition so much that it covers that entire cut. So then the question is, what is the middle ground between absorbing more cuts and having some tuition increase to help us?
Your counterpart up at Arizona State University, Dr. Michael Crow, says it's possible that financial aid for incoming students will need to be adjusted. Would you agree with him? Will there be an adjustment in that area?
I think, as I said earlier, I think financial aid is one of the few large pots of money that we look at. You remember, this state spends virtually zero on financial aid, unlike almost all the other states. And so it's left up to the institutions to plow some of that tuition income. Monies from generous donors that endow scholarships back into financial aid, in our case, $160 million. If you're looking at these big cuts and you only have two pots of money that are in the tens of millions range, namely financial aid and salaries and benefits, you have to look at both.
Unlike the University of California system, which you are familiar with, yes. Arizona's state universities have not had to limit freshman enrollment. An influx of the federal stimulus money also has helped offset some of the state funding cuts. But how do we compare with California?
Well, California schools, before we got into this situation, were much better funded than we were. Again, I'm not trying to imply that they're sitting over there fat and happy, but on a per-student basis, for whatever reasons, they had a lot more money. Now, they're dealing with cuts as severe as ours, so I don't pretend that it's easy, but they had a more robust base to start with. We have not limited enrollment in the sense that our freshman class has grown a little bit each year. We've been very cautious about growing because we know they're back in 07, 08. We knew there were fiscal problems. And also we want to maintain the quality of the class coming in. But we will be looking at the size of the freshman class for this fall.
State universities to prohibit the use of medical marijuana on campuses.
Yes.
That's in today's Arizona Daily Star. This might be confusing to some people, wondering how can, under a new state law, how can the universities then not comply with the state law? But I guess there's some federal issues here.
That's exactly right. I mean, the federal laws override the state law, assuming we want to receive any kind of federal money, which we do, whether it's for our hospitals or for student aid or the $600 million plus in research funding that we'll be spending this year. So in this case, the federal laws take precedent.
So I understand that policies adopted or being crafted by the schools say the campuses then will remain drug-free zones, correct?
That's correct.
Yes. So you don't anticipate any kind of legal challenges with this, the federal
laws? Oh, you know, Bill, legal challenges abound. So I never say I don't anticipate any. But in this case, the law is very clear. We have to follow it.
We've got about a minute left. How would you characterize this year that's coming up, this 2011 for the University of Arizona?
Well, you know, there are so many great accomplishments and achievements that the faculty, staff, and students are responsible for. The applications are way up. People want to come here and study here. Research funds continue to grow. So even amid all of the genuine financial stress and strain, you see a remarkable unity of purpose. So I try to look at that as the same time as I'm looking at all the spreadsheets that come across my desk to deal with the financial issues.
Dr. Robert Shelton from the University of Arizona, the president, thank you for being with us, and come back and see us.
I'd like that, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. It's 22 minutes now past the hour, and this is the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking about cigarette tax revenue and the smokers, anti-smokers helpline at the University of Arizona. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastropub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, this is the Buckmaster Show. Most states' anti-smoking efforts are failing miserably because they were underfunded last year, and officials spent new cigarette tax revenue on unrelated programs. So says the American Lung Association in a new report. Tobacco prevention programs in 40 states, including Arizona and the District of Columbia, earned grades of F in a report issued by the Washington-based group because they receive less than half the funding recommended by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Stephen Michael, director of the Arizona Smokers Helpline at the Mel and Enid Zuckerman College of Public Health at the University of Arizona. Mr. Michael, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. It's always a pleasure to be here.
What do you think about this new report? Do we deserve that F grade?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. Over the years, Arizona has actually started putting more money towards tobacco cessation, but unfortunately, based on the CDC's recommendation, we're far underfunded based on what they think we should be spending.
Arizona fell from a D in that spending category last year because it spends $2.89 per person to help smokers quit, while the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is recommending a lot more, $10.53.
That's correct. And one of the things that it's kind of misleading about that number is that's just the money that the Tobacco Bureau gives to us to run our program, but there are other efforts. Some of that money goes to the Access Program, which is the Medicaid program here in Arizona, and medications are paid for through that money. So it's a little misleading when you look just at the amount of money that's spent on tobacco alone. It's still not quite the amount of money that the CDC thinks we should be spending. And, you know, we'd love to see that amount of money spent, but with tobacco revenues going down, it's getting harder.
Arizona did receive an A for prohibiting smoking in locations from schools to restaurants. State got a C for its $2 per pack cigarette tax. All grades were based on standards that were recommended by the CDC. So we are doing some things right, correct?
That's correct. Arizona actually, what isn't in that report is that Arizona actually had a 21% drop in smoking prevalence. So 21% less people were smoking in 2009 than in 2008. And a lot of that is because of the efforts, the smoke-free law, the new media campaign to help people quit smoking, the increase in funding for medications. And a lot of that isn't reflected in the report. You know, so it's, we may see that in next year's report, I'm hoping.
Give us an update on what you're doing and your efforts over there at the University of Arizona. And is January the big month for people saying, making those New Year's resolutions, saying they're going to quit smoking?
Yes, New Year's is always a busy time for us because people are always making that resolution. The amount people are spending is going up every year. So we want to make sure that we're here to provide people with the services to help them quit with their quit coaches and medications. We're here for them. But it is a busy time of year. January and March are busiest months.
Tell us about your funding situation. Are you okay with your funding, with your helpline?
Currently, the state is very committed to the quit line. They have not cut our funding in the last 3 years, and we're very appreciative of that. We also have some additional funding from the CDC to help us reach out to vulnerable populations, and the one we're really focused on for the next 3 years is people who have chronic mental illnesses or serious mental illnesses, because the smoking rate with people who have a mental illness is much higher, like in sometimes more than four times higher than the general population.
What is the percentage of people who seek help from you who actually are able to kick the habit?
Currently, last year, our quit rate was right at 37%. So a little more than one out of every three people who call and get help from us will be quit a year later. And that's about 10% higher than the national average.
And we want to point out that more than 20% of U.S. adults, or 46 million people, smoke cigarettes. And smoking is the biggest cause of preventable death in the United States. Mr. Michael, thank you very much for talking with us from the Arizona Smokers Helpline.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
All right. Coming up on 9:30 at KJLL in Tucson and on TheBuckmasterShow.com, we're going to talk about the local film industry next.
Local talk at its best.
Real talk is what this is.
AM 1330, KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. The snow is piled high in the Northeast. Over 1,000 flights are canceled, and Amtrak has also suspended some service. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg says it was a record-breaking snowstorm.
The official reading in Central Park was 19 inches. This is roughly twice the amount of snow that yesterday's evening National Weather Service forecast told us to expect.
The financial crisis that started in 2008 could have been avoided. The final report from a federal commission blamed reckless behavior on Wall Street. It also says policies under Presidents Bush and Obama were part of the problem. The S&P 500 hit 1,300 today for the first time since September 2008. Also, the Dow is hovering around 12,000. Bombings in a number of Baghdad neighborhoods today killed more than 50 people. Most of them died when a parked car blew up near a funeral tent. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
AutoZone. Want to make your tax refund go farther? Head to AutoZone.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Why not use your tax refund to protect one of your greatest investments, your car? It's a great chance to do that project you've been putting off. Whether it's a battery, brakes, engine, or transmission, AutoZone has everything you need to do any job right. And if you need a little advice, we're here to help. Make both your car and tax refund go farther. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Now at the Home Depot Renew and Redo Bath Event, save on stylish bath updates, like a Savannah 24-inch cognac vanity set, valued at $249, now just $99, a price that'll transform your bathroom and leave room in your budget for even more improvements, like new faucets, lights, and paint. We're lowering the cost of makeovers now at the Bath Event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
It is 34 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on KJLL AM 1330. We're here live Monday through Friday, 9 to 10. If you miss a portion of the show, it will be on our website, very easy to use, buckmastershow.com. And we re-air the program each evening from 7 to 8. And next on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to talk about the local film industry and the Independent Film Association of Southern Arizona. Eric Schumacher is the vice president of the IFASA. He joins me live in studio right now. Mr. Schumacher, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. Thank you so much for having me here. By the way, I'm the president.
Oh, you are the president. Yeah. I thought your friend Alan Williams was the president.
Other way around, actually.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
No worries.
Alan's a good guy.
Please extend my best wishes to him.
So we've got the man himself. The president is with us. Tell us about the Independent Filmmakers Association of Southern Arizona. This is not necessarily a new organization.
Oh, no.
It's been around, but you're trying to, in effect, bring new life to it.
Exactly. Yeah, the organization has been around for about 5 years, there's been quite a lot of work to bring us to the point where we are now. Alan and I were asked to run for president and vice president by the board, which we did after really looking at what we were getting into and how and whether or not we would best be able to serve the community through this organization. We believe we can. So we kind of come in with just a fresh approach and some new energy. We're sort of re-envisioning right now, building upon a lot of the things that the organization had previously, such as the member meetings, the mixer events, the a variety of the partnerships with local community organizations and businesses, and just kind of making it an exciting new day for this organization, which is really designed to promote and support independent filmmaking in Southern Arizona in general. It's an organization made up of actors, directors, producers, writers, makeup people, lighting people, everyone across the board who works in the film industry, and amateurs for that matter as well. And it's there to support, and particularly under this administration, our primary focus is to bring new life to the business end of film, and to really, we're looking at film as an economic development opportunity. Film is one of the few industries that can have it's an industry like no other. It can have a major economic impact very, very quickly if it's done right, and we want to support that growth.
Tucson has such a wonderful tradition of filmmaking. Shortly after Hollywood filmmakers started making movies, they were headed for the old Pueblo, and even in the early parts of the 20th century, we're making movies here. We've had highs and lows, peaks and valleys. How would you characterize the filmmaking scene right now in Tucson, Arizona?
Well, I would say that we have a very vibrant community. There's a lot of films being made here, and most people don't know that, and I think that's one of the problems. There's not a lot of, right now, most of those films are not very well funded. It's very difficult to get funding for a film here, and we seek to change that. There's basically a lot of, I suppose you could say, sort of lone wolf filmmakers out there who are doing everything in their power to apply their art, but mostly on their own funding or very minimal funding. And unfortunately, that means that, for those who don't know film, it's an incredibly difficult process. It's very difficult to make a film. We really need to bring more resources into filmmaking so that we can make more and more commercially viable films, so that we can bring name talent into projects, so that we can get more resources, so it's simply easier to make better quality films and get them to a wider distributed audience. So kind of the state of the state right now is that there's a ton of really, really creative, innovative filmmakers out there, but they just really need the support to be able to make their projects commercially viable. And that means that, you know, they need dollars to buy what they need and to get more of the cast and crew involved, which means that in getting those dollars, they pour that into this community.
I think you have found a champion in Ward 6 City Councilman Steve Kasachek. Your first reorganized meeting of the Independent Film Association of Southern Arizona was at the councilman's office earlier this month. How is that going? He seems to really believe in what you're doing.
Yeah, you know, Steve Kasachek contacted us and asked how he could help. We've spoken to others, but he's the only one on the political scene who actually approached us first. And he has been incredibly supportive. He and his staff have just been wonderful. We had our first member meeting of the year. I think it might have actually been the largest member meeting IFAS has ever had. Steve was kind enough to lead the meeting off. Of course, it was right after the horrific incident at the Safeway recently. We spoke on the phone a little before, or spoke via email beforehand, and basically decided we really needed a positive in the community right at that moment. I very much appreciate that he, like me, felt that this was a positive for the community. We've been meeting at the Ward 6 offices. They've just really rolled out the red carpet for us in any way that they can within their limits, as a government agency. We've just really gotten undying support from them. I'm really grateful.
We see a lot of movies made in New Mexico. I watch a lot of films, and it seems like so many are made now over in the Santa Fe, Taos area. Albuquerque's thrown a lot of money at this. What do we need on a statewide basis and then locally to compete with them?
Well, that's a big question. First off, as many people know already, there was a tax incentive program, so to speak, for film in Arizona, and that was canceled as of the beginning of this year, which makes us quite non-competitive for external film coming here, and fairly non-competitive for local film at a certain rate. I believe that tax incentive program, and I could be wrong about this, was you started to get incentives once you were spending $250,000 and above, which is fairly low budget for a film, but for small indie films, it's, you know, you're not reaching that yet. So, I mean, a tax incentive program would help greatly. What we feel, though, I mean, it's a divisive issue. I'm not sure why it's a divisive issue, but apparently it is. What we feel is that in order for Southern Arizona, particularly, to be competitive, and Arizona to be competitive, we have to take the resources that we have and meld them. We need to have a stronger, better planned film community. We have to have greater public awareness about the benefits of film. We have to have local businesses and local investors working with local filmmakers to design products that will be watched by a wide audience and to market them well. We need to be known again as the film town. We need to prove to the world that this is a place where incredible products can be made. And one of the benefits to making film here, aside from the fantastic locations and the great cast and crew around here, is that right now, despite the lack of tax incentive programs, it's pretty inexpensive to make a film here. There aren't the kinds of insane fees and so on that you would have to and administrative burdens that you would have to deal with to, you know, just get a location, for example. People are fairly friendly to film here, and we need to further increase that and slowly but surely make more and more products that are seen by larger audiences kind of as a community. And and we think that we can make a good value proposition for what we have to offer even without the incentive programs, and hopefully prove the value of them in the future.
Eric Schumacher is talking with us. Eric is the president of the Independent Film Association of Southern Arizona. It's an organization that's been around about 5 years, but Eric and his associates are trying to pump new life into this issue and bring filmmaking to the forefront again and bring Tucson back as a filmmaking mecca. And to do that, though, it's going to take a lot of money, probably, correct?
Yeah, ultimately it will. Yeah. Ultimately it will. Like I said, one of the great things about local filmmakers is that they've had to work with so little budget for so long that they've found some really innovative ways around a lot of budget. We just finished a project that I'm guessing probably cost us a mere $10,000. It looks like it was quite a lot more than that because we had really impressive people working on it.
There's a lot of talent in this town. How many people do you think in one way or another are associated with filmmaking in town? Obviously, they're not doing it full time, most of them, but mm-hmm. How many have their foot in the door in some capacity?
My guesstimate is about 2,000.
2,000.
Perhaps more. And that's one of the things we're trying to get our fingers around now, is to figure out exactly how many people are in the industry. But I believe it's around that number in Tucson alone.
Got about a minute to go. Where can people get more information about the independent filmmakers in Tucson?
Well, you can go to www.ifasa.net. You can also look up IFASA on our Facebook page. That's a pretty good place to start. You can also look for the Tucson Film Office, by the way, which supports filmmaking in Arizona as well, and is a publicly funded, I believe. And unfortunately, I don't know your email address.
Do you know your next meeting? When that will be?
Our next meeting will be on February 15th at 6:30 p.m. at the Ward 6 offices. Take a look at our webpage for more information, and contact us if you'd like more information. We are driving right now to get every person involved in media arts in this community in this to make them a member of this organization, so we have greater clout. So please visit us, come to our meeting, and I'll be glad to shake your hand, meet you in person.
Eric, we're big supporters here at the Buckmaster Show of the work you're doing, and keep us posted.
Will do. And by the way, thank you very, very much, Bill, for having us here today. I really appreciate your support. You've been a great supporter of us for quite a while now, and it's an honor to be here. And I thank you for making a show like this, which is so important to this community. Nobody else right now is doing a show that deals with local issues And this is a just it's a this is a great thing for this area. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, Eric Schumacher. We'll be back on the Buckmaster Show. It's about 46 minutes past the hour.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at ferroamorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Coming up on 49 minutes past the hour, is the new decade going to herald explosive economic growth? Yes, says a longtime Tucson community leader and now author of a book just out today. It's titled Business Strategies for Explosive Growth in the New Economy. With us in studio is Alex Rodriguez, former president of the Tucson Unified School District, a one-time congressional candidate, and business executive at Raytheon Missile Systems. Mr. Rodriguez recently formed a new company called Exit Strategies. That's a business consulting group. Alex Rodriguez, always a pleasure to see you.
Good morning, Bill. It's fantastic to be with you and your listeners today.
Thank you so much for being with us.
And by the way, Bill, congratulations to you on your 2011 Golden Mike Award.
Yes,
that's fantastic news.
A huge privilege, and I think the ceremony will be open to the public at the Fox Theater. It's a big gala event on Saturday, February the 19th, but I am very honored to be the recipient of the Golden Mike Award for 2011 from the American Advertising Federation, the
Tucson
chapter.
Sure, absolutely. Well, very well deserved.
Alex, before we talk about the new book, I know as a candidate for U.S. Congress back in 2006 in the primary, you spent quite a bit of time, I believe almost 9 months, on the campaign trail with Congresswoman
That's
Gifford.
Correct.
So this tragedy has hit really close to home for you.
It has, Bill, very much so, in fact. I learned many, many valuable lessons while observing Gabby in the primary. She was just such an excellent campaigner who loves people, and she truly embodies what I believe is an ideal member of Congress, or what an ideal member should really do and be like. My wife and I have photos with our daughter and Gabby at the Safeway in our neighborhood. Gabby had asked me to bring Emmy Sophia to our Congress on your corner event so that she could meet our daughter. And so I'm just very grateful for her recovery so far, and pray for the victims and their families.
Alex, you worked in strategic planning and business development for Raytheon Missile Systems and other companies for the last decade. Today, you are announcing a strategy consulting firm that you founded named Exit Strategy Advisors, in addition to becoming Tucson's newest author. Yes. Why this company now, and why the company, and why the book?
You know, it's very simple. Bill, what I want to do is to help improve our economy by helping our clients excel. We will bring to bear all the necessary tools to help our clients resolve their most pressing problems in order to grow their businesses. So in fact, our company motto is, "Your success is our mission." We're offering over 10 different services ranging from strategic planning facilitation to stress testing business plans that are in effect to leadership effectiveness and possibly even a little bit of motivational speaking there, Bill.
Why did you decide to do the book, Business Strategies for Explosive Growth in the New Economy? And by the way, you're featured, you're the co-author of the book with a gentleman by the name of Brian Tracy.
That's correct. Many of your listeners may be familiar with Brian Tracy, who's an internationally renowned business success story. And Celebrity Press Publishing offered me the opportunity to be a co-author in this timely book. And so I jumped at the opportunity right away. And the notion behind it is to share the best practices of experts from around the world in a variety of different fields that are really excelling in today's environment. So the idea is to spread some of those strategies that are working in order to help others grow and prosper as well.
You introduced the concept, Alex Rodriguez, of a leader's leader in your chapter. How do you define a leader's leader?
Well, Bill, this concept grew out of a speech I delivered to the 2011 MBA class at the Eller College of Management at the U of A. And so we define a leader's leader as someone who has mastered the art of leadership, who's earned the respect of fellow leaders and followers, whose action and example leads to extraordinary results for their businesses, their careers, and their lives. So we're trying to set the bar higher in order to really strive for an environment that's conducive to growth. A lot of our businesses in Tucson and around the country are still suffering from this credit squeeze, and the job prospect situation doesn't look very good. So we're trying to raise the bar in leadership effectiveness.
You have been a leader in your life. I mean, you were a army captain in mm-hmm. Bosnia. You were a leader, a member of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board, then went on to be the board president. You've done a lot with leadership in your life. How do you define leadership for me? I mean, you just talked about a leader's leader.
Yes.
But in your own life, how do you see yourself leading?
You know, leadership is about getting things done and achieving important results. But it's also about getting stakeholder buy-in to a vision. And
yeah,
so
folks have to believe in what you're doing, or they're not going to be leading, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, they're not going to be following the leader.
They're not going to follow the leader. And in fact, in today's economy, many of our folks that are in positions of leadership have contracted. They've lost their mojo. They're off balance because of the tight situation right at the time when they are needed the most. So we're trying to help leaders step up and become much better and more effective in their roles. And we strongly believe that in doing so, the revenues of their companies will also go up.
We're speaking with Alex Rodriguez. Mr. Rodriguez has been a community leader, a business leader for many years in Tucson. He's given a lot of service to the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. He has a new book that is just being released today, Counterattack, Business Strategies for Explosive Growth in the New Economy. And I want to talk briefly about what you speak on, what you call business leadership effectiveness. You talked about a leader's leader, but now being an effective leader.
Exactly. So the whole notion behind that is to move beyond leadership development to measure true leadership effectiveness, there are a lot of tools that are available for folks to train and conduct leadership development, as it were. But I think what we need to do is move the bar to leadership effectiveness. And again, it goes back to the whole notion of, are people that are in current leadership positions really effective? Can they improve at their current roles? Do they have the stakeholder buy-in of those that they have the privilege to lead? So combined, this idea is to focus on their effectiveness.
You also talk about what leaders are doing differently from a leadership perspective now and in the past, namely before the bottom fell out at the stock market.
You know, what's remarkable is it's easy for human beings to get set in their ways and continue to do the same things. Now, a lot of economic factors are out of our control, but clearly what is within our control, we are able to change. And so what we want to do is test that what people were doing prior to December 2007, when the economy, the recession started, is significantly different to what they are doing today in their current leadership posts.
I want to bring up, we've talked about business and leadership, but having you here in the studio gives me an opportunity because of your past with TUSD. I am just curious about some of your thoughts, if you would share those thoughts with us about how the district is doing. We interviewed Dr. John Petticone recently on our Friday roundtable, had a good conversation with the new leader of TUSD.
Yes.
What do you say about all this ethnic studies controversy?
Well, first, I applaud the current governing board for an exceptional pick in Dr. Petticone. I know him personally and have worked with him over the years on educational matters, and he is the right person for the right job at the right time. With respect to the ethnic studies issue, frankly, there are much broader issues at work in education policy in our state. It's almost as if it's a distraction, because it's a minute set of students that are impacted by that policy. Dr. Shelton was one of your guests earlier today, and he spoke of the pains that the state is in terms of budget deficits and their impact to the quality of education on our students. And really, that's where I would ask that people focus the attention on. Any members of the State House and Senate that might be out there listening, I would urge you know, to go easy on education in terms of budget cuts. I know it's difficult, but I firmly believe that economic development starts in the classroom.
Okay, Alex Rodriguez, where can folks get counterattack business strategies for explosive growth in the new economy?
My website is exitstrategyadvisors.net, exitstrategyadvisors.net. Where they'll be able to pick up a copy.
Okay, Alex Rodriguez, the best of luck to you with the new book, and enjoy talking with you about leadership. Thanks a lot.
Bill, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers and Rieger is the CPA firm of The Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster. This has been The Buckmaster Show on KJLL Live from 9 to 10 a.m., weekdays, re-airs at 7 to 8 p.m., and always on the web at buckmastershow.com. Have a great day.
Local talk at its best.
Real talk to what this is.
AM 1330, KJLL, South Tucson.